challenging for me. I voted for the elimination of these judges that in Pennsylvania were given 10 more years, and they're leftist-leaning, Marxist-leaning, and they are pro-abortion, pro-murder, really, and they got in. And very, very discouraging to hear that. And then a watermelon got elected as mayor of New York City. And you know what a watermelon is. It's green on the outside and red on the inside. That's the Red-Green Alliance, Islam, which is a false religion, joining up with communism, represented by red of the watermelon. And this Mayor Mamdani now, he is a basically he is a Muslim, but he's also a communist. And that's the red-green of a watermelon. And these two are against one another. And when they take power and destroy the United States, that's their goal, then they'll have to fight it out and see who wins. And I was talking to my son about it. And my youngest son, I was talking to him about this, and he was talking to me, and he was saying, you know, how serious these things are for our country. He has 5 kids and was concerned. And I said to him, I said, you know what? Let's not forget God. Let's not forget the power of God and prayer and what God can do through faith. And he said back to me, yeah, I guess that's all we have now is faith. I replied to that, and I said, you know what? It's always been that way. That's what we as believers have. We have faith. I said, when Hillary Clinton was running, I was concerned that I would be arrested for preaching in 2016 if she got elected. And we prayed, and against all odds, God elected an outsider who was friendly to churches and Christians like this church. And God answered that prayer in a wonderful way. Later on, I met the president. Later on, I led in prayer to a rally of 4,000 people in Wilkes-Barre. God, as it were, was stretching out his hand saying, I see your prayers. I see your faith. I've heard you. I said, we won that victory that way. I said, then it was like all hell broke loose, and they tried to impeach him with a coup. 2 times they tried to impeach him, but the Lord wouldn't allow the devil to take that president away from us and go under communism or Marxism. And then in 2020, he ran, and the election was stolen. And we prayed and we fasted by faith. God, put him in. And I said to people, God's going to put him in. And you know what? We prayed on every Monday and fasted for a long time. And finally I said, you know what? God's heard our prayer. We can stop. He's going to put him back in. Well, he didn't put him in 2021 or 2022. It was the greatest comeback in probably the history of America. He came back in 2024. Friendly to our faith, to our church. God did that so that we could live peaceable lives, the Bible says, in all godliness and honesty. And he got in there, but they tried to take him off the ballots in more than one state. Then they tried to put him in jail for life with lawfare. And then after he was running, and just before he was to be nominated, after winning the primary, they tried to kill him in Butler, PA, and a bullet hit him in the head, but just not enough to take his life. And then they tried it again in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. They tried to shoot him. I'm just saying to you that it's been through faith. that God gave us this victory. In 2024, the trifecta, there was a House and a Senate, and the election was done. And so when my son said to me, all we have now is faith, I said, that's all we've ever had. And that's what I decided to preach to you about today. All you have is faith. All you have is faith. And please turn in your Bible to Hebrews 11, and I'd like to look at verses 32 through 35, the beginning of 35, and I'll read it, and you can follow. It says, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Don't miss that. They subdued kingdoms through faith. I like what John Knotts said when his wife said, you're praying, why don't you come to bed? He said, I've got to keep praying. And he prayed all night. And then in the morning he said, I got the victory. And Bloody Mary was killed that night. Mary, Queen of Scots, the Catholic Bloody Mary that martyred Christians. He said, I got the victory. Do you see here in the Bible, it speaks about through faith, literally overturning kingdoms. And I believe we've had a kingdom over the United States called a globalist cabal and a shadow government with the Clintons and the Obamas and the rest. And we have had a deep state, an entrenched bureaucracy. It's a kingdom within a kingdom, my friend. It's unconstitutional. And how are we going to overthrow something like that? It's got to be done by faith. Faith. Faith is all you have. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, it goes on to talk about that they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions. You remember Daniel? When he was through a cabal of people accused of breaking the law that they had set up to get him condemned, and they had the condemnation of death sentence by throwing him into a den of hungry lions. In fact, later his enemies that were thrown in there, they were literally eaten alive before they got to the bottom of the den. They grabbed their bones and just grabbed them in their mouths. And Daniel was thrown in there, and the Bible said that the mouths of the lions were shut by God. All night he was in there, and those lions were like pussycats. How'd that happen? The Bible says it here. It was through faith. And then it says, not only that, but it says there that they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, speaking of Elijah raising a dead widow's son to life who had taken care of him when he needed food. And then Elisha, his follow-up guy, he raised the son of a lady that had helped him out to life by faith. Don't tell me that faith is not a powerful weapon. Faith is all you have. It's the foundational weapon. And when I heard about the recent discouraging election results that happened, and I attribute some of it to fraud. By the way, they've never fixed the Sequoia election machines. First of all, it started out as a certain election machine, and then it went to Sequoia, and then it went to being Dominion. It started in Cuba. It went to Venezuela. It was successful with Maduro. It's successful with Hugo Chavez. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised you're going to see Venezuela bomb very shortly. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Red Chinese are backing it. Russia's backing it with money, taking away our elections. It's been happening for a long time. If that's going to be turned around, the best way to turn it around is by the prayers and faith of God's people. that we could be free from enslavement. And so what I'm saying is, when I heard about the recent results, I thought about my reply to my son, and I said to him when he said, all we have now is faith, that is indeed what we have going forward. And I want to say it to you this morning, all you have is faith. Are you going to exercise your faith? Are you going to use your faith? And I want to say two things about that this morning from Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. Number one, all you have is faith to get things from God in this world. All you have is faith to get things from God in this world. I had a lady come up to me at Benji's funeral dinner, and she was sharing with me about a friend that I had talked to. And this friend had professed to hear the gospel, and I said, as long as you understand the good news about Jesus Christ, and she said he has a problem with the assurance of salvation. And I said to him, as long as you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you're a sinner, that you're condemned to die for your sin and go to hell forever, but that God in the flesh died for the world, and that anybody in the world that trusts him is the one that conquered death, rose from the dead, that you will have eternal life if you understand that. If you, number two, agree with it, and number three, if you're willing to surrender your will to depend only upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. As long as you have done those things, I said, here's what you have for the assurance of your salvation. I said, you have the written Word of God. Do you want to be sure that you're saved? You need the written Word of God. You see, one day you may feel saved, the next day not. One day you may feel good, the next day not. But the Word of God does not change. Do you know that God exalted His Word above His name? And the Bible says that you have the written Word of God. And so if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you go to hell, when the Bible says in Acts 16, 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and you believe the way I just described that and you trust Him and you then are sent to hell, you have God over a barrel. You can say, God, you lied to me. Listen to me, God does not lie. And I told this young man, I said, God cannot lie. That's the basis of my assurance of salvation. It's based on the Word of God. And sometimes the devil may come up to you and say, oh, you can't be saved. And you could say to the devil, I'm standing firm in the faith and I'm resisting you. Based on the Word of God. Isn't that what Jesus said to the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. He used the written Word of the living God, and that is the basis for our assurance. And so the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I what? Written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That is where your assurance comes from. Are you basing your assurance upon faith in the Word of God? Peter said, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I am so glad that faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope to go to heaven when I die. I hope the angels will greet me if I die before Jesus comes back and go to heaven. You say, how do you know? Is that solid? Is your assurance solid? Yeah, it's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. That's why you do well to take heed to the written Word of God and live your life like Jesus lived his life based on the Scripture. And therefore, all you need for the foundation of your assurance of eternal salvation is the written Word of God. All you need is faith. Also, because it defeats opposition by those around you and against you, according to the Word of God. Here's what it says. And in other words, if you want to get things from God in this world, you have to have faith. It says in Hebrews 11, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. You remember Gideon? He was afraid. God said, you're a mighty man of valor. You're going to take the victory over the Midianites. There were hundreds, thousands of Midianites. He whittled Gideon down to 300 men, and God gave him assurance that, yes, I'm going to give you the victory. And then he even had a dream that he overheard that he was going to have the victory. And in that, he launched out, and faith always launches out. Faith has a foundation, but faith has feet, right? He stepped out in faith, and he did what God said, and he won the victory over those thousands of Midianites. Then he became a judge and ruled over Israel and delivered them from the enslavement that they had stolen from. Wouldn't it be great if that would happen in America? That there would be believers in America that would, through faith, get rid of the deep state's control and get us back to our Constitution and free us up. That would be wonderful. The Midianites were stealing them blind. They didn't have any money. They were impoverishing them. By the way, do you know there's a case before the Supreme Court? They want to impoverish Americans by taking away the president's right to tariff, saying it's a tax. No, it's not a tax. It's a protection. Other agencies that are under the president use it. And it's inconsistent when other presidents have used it to now say it's a tax. No, it may be considered an indirect tax if prices go up, but it's not a tax. Sometimes prices go down. I'm just simply saying that it's faith that we have to defeat forces that would impoverish us and would enslave us. And that was the case with Gideon. It says of Barak. Barak went with Deborah and defeated the Canaanites. Remember, he was afraid to go, and Deborah said, I'll go, but a woman's going to get credit. You should go with God. Be a man. Barak said, no, I need you. And he defeated King Jabin, the Canaanite king, and Sisera. Remember, Jael drove a spike through the head of Sisera, the general for Jabin. But Barak got a victory through faith. He stepped out in faith, and he got the victory, and Israel was delivered from the Canaanites. Then it talks about, and of Samson. Samson repeatedly defeated the opposition. He was a fighter of the Philistines. Then when the Philistines got victory over him, they burned out his eyes and he was grinding grain. But once again, he prayed in faith and he said, God, do it again. You've done it before. Do it one more time. And he got his strength back through faith and pulled down the walls of the place where the upper chambers had all these Philistines in the upper deck of the amphitheater. And it caved in on Samson and he died. But many Philistines died, more in his death than in his life. He did that through faith. It talks about Jephthah. He defeated the Ammonites by faith. And David and all the victories that he won through faith. It's discouraging when you see things happen that go against what you've been praying for. But that's a call for you to overcome through faith. Our former pastor used to say, opposition precedes blessing. You can get things from God through prayer and faith. All you have is faith to get things from God in this world that you need. Are you using that faith? We need it right now as believers in America. And we need to have faith and we need to put feet to our faith. And I remember reading a book when I took off a semester from college. It was called Prayer, Asking and Receiving by John R. Rice. And it was just testimony after testimony of how John R. Rice had testimonies of getting things from God. And it encouraged my faith. And I read about George Mueller and how he got all these things to take care of orphans. Millions and millions of dollars. Just by faith. And I got stirred up to start using faith to get things from God. That's all you have to get things in this world from Almighty God. The Israelites weren't going to go into the promised land, and they were going to turn back. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, have faith in God. What were they looking at? They were looking at the giants, and they were afraid because they were focused on the giants. So they didn't step out in faith to take the promised land, and they lost an opportunity. Listen to me. What are you looking at today? You can lose opportunities just because you're not using your faith in God. All you have is faith if you're a believer, and that is plenty. What a blessing that is. Now, I'm thinking of a challenge not only to defeat giants, but to move mountains by faith. And I want to read to you from Mark chapter 11, the words of our Lord. You see, the Lord had cursed a fig tree, and the fig tree withered up. And Peter said, how did you do that? That's fantastic. And Jesus said, have faith in God. You say, Pastor, have you ever cursed any fig trees? I have. I have cursed businesses, and they withered up. I prayed at the Trump rally, and politicians came up to me and heard that testimony, and they said, would you pray for me to win? And I said, I would be happy to. I'm just saying to you, Jesus said, you want to curse that fig tree? You have faith in God. By the way, there's some fig trees that need to be cursed. There's some people that need to be stopped. Just like Mary Queen of Scots. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus said. Subdued kingdoms, Hebrews 11. Have faith in God. You want to get things in this world from God? Then you need to have faith in God. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11, 22 through 24. So the first thing the Lord says is, have faith in God. Notice that. When you're going through a discouraging time, don't just look at the problem. You know, a lot of people, I said this morning, they're looking at YouTube conspiracies and problems, and they're seeing these things. And that's all right to see things that are going on around you. But for every look you take at the problems, you need to take 10,000 looks at God. Because God is bigger than your problems. God is able to answer. Like my wife said, wouldn't it be great if there really was a God? Wouldn't it be great if he really answered prayer and heard your prayers and cared for you? Wouldn't it be great if there was a living God that could do those things? Well, listen, there is. There is. I remember Dr. Ware, our first pastor, was a girl in college. She said, I'm worried all the time. I'm anxious. He says, what are you worried about? She told him her problems. And he said, how long do you think about those problems? Most of the day. How long do you spend in prayer and in the Word of God? Oh, about 5 minutes. See, she had big problems and a little tiny God. I had a guy that was a great man of God in college by the name of Wendell Kempton. And Wendell Kempton was at a meeting of men, and they were all debating why they couldn't do this and do that God wanted, he believed them to do. And they had all these reasons why they couldn't do it. And finally, Wendell Kempton stood up, and they all were ashamed after he spoke. He said, gentlemen, I've heard you. How big is your God? That's the problem, you see. You've got a little God in big problems because you've spent too little time exercising, listen to me, your faith in a great, big, all-powerful God. First, the Lord says, have faith in God, not faith in your faith. We're not talking about the power of positive thinking. I had guys, when I was in college, they were into the power of positive thinking, and I debated them, and I said, no, that's not what it's all about. You know, there was a boy that took his math test, and he went home and told his dad, he said, I flunked that math test, I'm afraid. And his dad said, What? He said, I think I may have flunked that math test. His dad said, be positive. He said, okay, I'm positive I flunked that math test. We're not talking about the power of positive thinking. We're talking about the power of a great God, that even if your faith is as a grain of mustard seed, Jesus said, have faith in God, because God can do anything. He is the Almighty God. And I remember my wife and I, you remember this, honey, we were down in West Palm Beach, Florida, Calvary Baptist Church. We were living down there at the time, and there was a guest speaker, and he was a black preacher. And boy, can black preachers preach, amen. And this guy preached on Jeremiah, and he said, when Jeremiah was told to buy land in the promised land, God said to Jeremiah, now you're going to be kicked out of the land for 70 years, and nobody's going to be able to buy and sell. And he said, but I want you to buy property. And Jeremiah said, what? And God said, I am Jehovah, the Elohim of all flesh. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And the word Jehovah means God makes covenants with his people that he will come through. And Elohim means he's the God that created everything. Is there anything too hard for God? And that's what Jesus is saying. They said, how did you do that? And he said, have faith in God, and God can do anything, and he can do great things and wonderful things. And so really what we need to do is visualize who God is from the Word of God, and we need to visualize from the Word of God what God intends to do. Bill Gothard said, faith is visualizing what God intends to do. But there's a second thing here, and I want you to notice it. It's not just faith in God in Mark 11, but look with me in Mark 11, 22, 23. It says, and I'll read it. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever should say unto this mountain, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You want to move mountains? Not only have faith in God, but speak what you believe. Tell people what you believe. I said in 2016, I believe that God, based in the encouragements he's given me from his word, he's heard our prayer, and Donald Trump's going to be elected. I said it before it happened. I said it in 2020. People tried to get me to set a time and push me into a time. That's always not wise to let people do that to you when it comes to faith in God, because God's got his timetable. We shouldn't go too far. But he got in, and I said it. Have faith in God. What you say. Jesus said to that fig tree, be cursed, and it was cursed. He said, you say to that mountain, you say it. You know, it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, how you're saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, does that mean we're saved by believing or by saying it? Well, obviously, you're saved by believing. John's gospel all the way through says that. You believe on Christ in your heart. That's when you're saved. But listen to me. If you really have faith in Jesus Christ, you will not keep it in forever. You'll have to confess it. It will come out of your mouth. Hebrews 11 talks about that. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. It will come out of your mouth. Why? Because you really believe it in your heart. And so faith will say aloud, I had that faith. I was willing to say it. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, anybody that saith that, that shows your faith, and God will come through for you. I remember my wife and I got together down in West Palm Beach, Florida, and we visited the youth group together, and then I went back to Bible college, and we didn't have a dating relationship. We didn't have anything, but she believed that I was to be the man that she was to marry. I could have warned her, but she believed that. She believed that. And she had a guy come down that was a fiancé of her girlfriend. They were teaching in a Christian school together, and a fiance of her girlfriend. He came down, and she told her girlfriend. Her girlfriend told her fiance, and her fiance, my wife, was dumb enough to to have this guy counsel her. No, he's a good man, but he counseled her, and he said, you know what? You need to just get rid of your will and have God's will. And then get into the Word of God and ask God what He wants you to do. She said, well, I don't see Randy Bloom in the concordance, you know. He said, no, you commune with God and He'll help you. He'll help you. Now, that's the same thing George Mueller used to do. Before he prayed, he would die to his own will and he would search the Word of God. And then he would see what God wanted to do and he would visualize that. And he would pray and get answers to prayer. And he just depended on the Word of God. So my wife, you know, she did that, and I can't get into her testimony, but she has a whole testimony. How many have heard her testimony? It's an amazing testimony. And I think the reason it's so amazing is when she faced the challenges of marrying me, she had to have some solid promises of, yeah, God got me into this. But I'm just saying that that was something that not only did she believe, and she even said to God, you know, am I doing this wrong? And he would give her verses in the Psalms that, no, this is what I want for you. Then an evangelist came to her church by the name of Manly Beasley. You remember that? And he came to church and he preached a message and he said, faith confesses. He said, you need to tell somebody. When you really believe something, you need to speak up and say, I believe it, like that mountain. Say that mountain. And she did. I know she told her mother and some others, and she was shopping for some stuff for her hope chest when she got married. We weren't even dating. We weren't even writing as boyfriend and girlfriend. But she went shopping with her mother, and some sales lady said, well, what are you buying this stuff for? And she said, oh, her mother said, she's engaged to a guy up in, a preacher, up in northeastern Pennsylvania. Her mother said that to the lady, right? Am I right or am I right? I'm right. I'm just saying that she spoke it. Do you want to get things from God in this world? Have faith in God. But number two, don't be afraid to share it. I'm not talking about casting your pearls before swine, but share it. Confess it. And that's what she did. And God blesses that. And the rest is history. God has done it. I'm saying, I said that about Trump twice. And you know what? Now that we're facing these discouragements that I was talking to my son about, I reasoned this way. If God did all that so that we might have peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty, and he protected that president, can't we pray for God to bring it all to pass? Sure we can. In faith. Don't give up. Pray it through. Keep going. And faith has feet. Vote and do your part, and we do that. And you must step out in faith. We said that. But I want to say a third thing. When it comes to getting things from God in this world, all you have is faith. I want to say a third thing, and that is the Lord says to believe in your God-given desires. Here's what he says in Mark 11. He says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, and then he says, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever, ye shall have whatsoever ye desire when ye pray. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You know what? That sounds too wide open. What you desire, God-given desires? Well, listen, the Bible puts it this way. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Why is that? Because he changes your heart to have his desires. And when he changes your heart to have his desires, you pray according to God's desires. And you put your faith in the desires that God has given you. God has given you these desires. I'm sure my wife had a desire to marry me. That was God-given, I assure you. God did that. God did that. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. There's a difference between your God-given desires and your fleshly lusts. But when you walk with God and surrender to the will of God and get into the Word of God, he gives you his desires so that you can believe that you have them already and not doubt in your heart. And you'll see giants taken out. You'll see mountains moved. God wants people to do that through faith. Yes, all you have is faith. It's not like that's a consolation thing. That is the great tool. All you have is your faith. Thank God for that. Are you using it? It's time that we as believers use it. All you have is faith to get things from God in this world. But let me close by saying, secondly, all you have is faith to get things from God beyond this world. Notice it goes on in Hebrews 11 after it talks about women receiving dead people back to life. It says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now he's talking about others who got nothing from this world. He says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And he said that they may obtain a better resurrection. Let me ask you this. Why is the resurrection that's better than a woman receiving her son back to life, or another widow that Elisha gave her son back to life? Why is the resurrection better? The reason is, and I'm sure you're going to say this, Brother Matthew, the reason is our resurrection that we get outside of this world, you'll never get old again. You'll never get sick again. You'll never die again. You're going to have a better resurrection. You say, how do you know that? By faith. Amen. Though you don't get in this world what you wanted, that faith is still good. You still have your faith for a better resurrection. I think about Eric Rodriguez, who I mentioned yesterday too. I said, Eric, you've gone through some tough things. His brother Ruben was 21 years of age. And he was taken to heaven suddenly, and he was in shock for a number of months. And when he came out of shock, he got discouraged thinking about losing Reuben to his family on earth here. And I said, you know what, Eric, all you have is your faith that not only Reuben, but Benji Rodriguez's Christian's father, they're in heaven right now cheering on these two guys because Christian came to church Wednesday night just a couple weeks after his father joined the church, and he joined the church. He came out Thursday night and he teamed up with one of our soul winners to go out soul winning, Christian Rodriguez. Eric said, I'll be here. He's here. Noel is here as well, the father. They got some bad things happen in this world. They didn't get their son back. They didn't get their father back. But they had their faith. Joe Slobodnik, when Eric was taken out of this world in a fighting vehicle, a Bradley fighting vehicle on the Euphrates River, and Cynthia Slobodnik, they had their son taken out. Joe cried for days. And no doubt his mother as well. But the guy that gave him the bad news about the son, the guy that goes to the door to tell him that bad news, he gave him the gospel. And that man prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. In the next couple days, I believe it was 10 people that prayed to receive Christ, or more. More. You can talk to him. But he led them to the Lord. Never once did he stop going to church. Never once did he stop his responsibilities. People said to him, "I'm sorry for your loss." And he would say to me or to others, "I didn't lose my son. I know right where he is." You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we're surrounded by an amphitheater. You know, we like football and cheering. Steve's happy Notre Dame beat Navy, and we cheer for our team. But I want to tell you, these guys are cheering you on. And they're saying, "Come on. Come on back to church. Come on, go out soul winning. Come on, give to the Lord's work. Come on, pray. Come on. Come on. Don't quit." They're cheering you on today. My Graham, who led me to the Lord, she's cheering me on to preach today. Say, how do you know that? By faith. You see, even when the world gives you bad things, Joe used to pray, "Lord, I pray that their faith would not fail, that when they go through bad times." That's why it says here, people that didn't get anything good from this world, they still had faith in God. And they got things beyond this world. I'm saying all you have is faith to get things from God beyond this world. It says here in Hebrews 11, 36 and 37, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. You ever heard about Isaiah the prophet, how he died? Tradition tells us they stuck him in a hollow log. And then they took two guys with a big saw and they went like that. And they sawed him in half while he was in that hollow log. Wow. They were sawn asunder, sawed in two like Isaiah the prophets. And it said that they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. See, some people believe that we're never going to see the great tribulation, but the Bible says there are many tribulations we must go through. I've asked God to push back the enemy's timeline, to give us a time of prosperity, peace, and prosecution of the enemies of the Constitution. I believe God's heard that prayer. But I also know there's coming a time when the world government will succeed, when the beast will reign supreme, and when you will take the mark of the beast if you don't have any faith in God. Because with taking that mark, you'll be able to get free medical, you'll be able to get free dental, you'll be able to get free food, you'll be able to get the socialist dream. It only lasts a short time, less than 3.5 years, the Bible says. Why? Because communism never works long term. You run out of other people's money. But it's going to happen for a time. And people are going to take the mark. I personally believe the COVID vax was a DNA-altering experience. And many of my friends and loved ones took that vax. I believe it was a warm-up test for the mark of the beast. Don't fail. If you're alive when that comes, don't take it. And it says right here that when you go through that, I'm looking at verse 38. It says, "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." Hey, that may be where you are someday. "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report," through what? Faith. "Receive not the promise." That's talking about 4,000 years of Old Testament history. They were promised the Messiah, and he didn't come, but they still believed, and they died in faith. See, that's what we're talking about today. All you have is faith. to get things from God in this world that will glorify God and make a way for the gospel, and to get things from God beyond this world when everything in this world is against you, and everything seems to be going bad. You still have your faith. Don't throw it away. It has great reward. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about all you have is faith. And I talked about the fact that